recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid, right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father,
good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I want to just get right at it. We got a lot of information and a big program lined up for you this morning. I want to go right to a special guest who we have lined up. He is none other than Mr. Aaron Vivian, and he is with Camp to Belong, reuniting siblings. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, listen, I just think, man, that things like what you are doing are so critically important to our society. And you know, if you're fortunate enough and blessed enough to come from a nuclear family or a family like the one I come from with 13 children and a mom and a dad who were married for 66 years. And so you, no, well, oh, no, 60, 64 years until the evil consequences of time took my mother. But 64 years, stability. I came from that. But that's not always the case. And to know that there are people like you and many people who have stories in this lifespan that many of us don't realize, I think it's important to have people like you doing the kind of things that you are doing. Let's begin by letting everybody know who Aaron Vivian is.
Sure, yeah. So I'm the assistant director for the camp. I've been involved with the camp since its inception here in Wisconsin. So we're going on about 9 years now. We started our first camp in 2015. And all of these past 9 years, we have been holding the camp up in Plymouth, Wisconsin, at a wonderful camp called Camp Anakiji. And we've mainly been able to serve kids. I mean, we serve kids in all 72 counties in Wisconsin. The problem is the week that we have to do the camp at this Camp Anakiji falls at the end of their main 12-week programming. And unfortunately, that week always falls at the week that Milwaukee County kids are usually all going back to school. So we've really never been able to serve Milwaukee County kids. And we knew that now is the time that we have to find some solution to fix that, which our solution is going to be a second camp. So this summer, we're starting a second camp in July at a beautiful camp in Heartland, Wisconsin. And we are serving predominantly Milwaukee County kids.
So let's talk about, you know, the purpose. Why? I know the purpose, but why reuniting siblings? You know, it's not something we think about, you know, as, you know, average people. That's not something that even comes across our desks. We don't realize that there's so many siblings that can be, you know, separated.
Right. Yeah. It's really not anything that I even had a pulse on until I all of a sudden started realizing it. And it's really a shame. And you said it correctly. Like, it's not something that we typically think about. I know I didn't. I grew up with a single mom, and she did everything she needed to do to make sure that me and my brother and sister were together. And I can't imagine what kind of life I would have had had I, under whatever circumstances, been split up from my brother and sister. That was my main support system growing up as a child. So then to find out that there are siblings who are removed from the home at no fault of their own, and then also get a second consequence of being split up from their brother or sister. It's kind of wild to me. And you know, we hear all the time, these siblings come to our camp, and then they're at our camp the next year, and they talk to us about how they just went the whole year without seeing their sibling. The only time they see their siblings are at camp, which is just wild to me that we don't put more of an effort in making sure that the sibling bond is maintained.
You know, Aaron, I'm a treatment foster parent, my wife and I. And so I know exactly what it is you're talking about because, you know, we try as best as we can to connect the young man we've been raising for 19 years with his siblings. And, you know, as somebody who had that stability, it is unfathomable, as you stated, that so many grow up in that manner. And so we take for granted, those of us who have been around our siblings, to the degree that sometimes, you know, we get sick of our siblings, right? I mean, as when right. you're young, and you don't realize, you know, until later on in life, just how important your siblings are to you. You get a little sick of them, especially when you're in your teens. But
right.
but you have them, right? And they help shape who you are. I couldn't
exactly.
imagine. I couldn't imagine having
yep.
grown up not knowing who my siblings were,
right?
And not being with them.
Yep, and we see it all the time at camp. You know, a week is a good length of time, a good amount of time, and we see all the time these siblings. They are laughing together. They are, you know, telling wonderful stories together. They are bickering. And I tell you what, that bickering is something I love to see because I bickered all the time, especially with my brother growing up. That is part of the sibling relationship, is the good and the bad and fighting and caring for each other. And so when we see that at camp, it just, I know it sounds weird to say I enjoy seeing them bicker, but like, it just makes me feel like this is why we're doing what we're doing, is we're giving them all of the sibling, you know, experiences that every sibling group experiences growing up.
You know, for those of you who may just be joining us, my guest is Mr. Aaron Vivian. He is with a camp called Camp to Belong, and it's about reuniting us siblings. You know, I've heard stories of adults in their 40s, in their 50s, trying to find their siblings. All this time during their life, they have struggled. They knew there was someone else, you know, in their bloodline. And sometimes they didn't find the sibling until their 50s or 60s. But they continued to search because they knew there was something that was missing in their lives. And
right.
and so to reunite them while they're young, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing, man. I really take my hat off to you and the camp. And there are many people who are listening over the airways right now who know exactly what it is you are talking about. I had a young man on Monday who told a wonderful story about the fact that his mom had to give him and his half-brother up while he was 2.5 years old. And
wow.
he knew there was other people, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
and so what he's done is used his life to try to help others who were, you know, kind of in that situation. Let me ask you, do you get support from the society in doing what you guys are doing, you know, financially? I mean, there's you know, costs money to do those things. How does the society respond to you?
Yeah, so we are, you know, 100% volunteer run. We do fundraisers throughout the year to get money, and we apply endlessly to grants for money. It's definitely not easy. It definitely takes work. We have a committee of people designated to just, you know, planning fundraisers and trying to get the word out there and applying to grants to get money, because, you know, it's all volunteer based, and, you know, so sometimes it's not easy to get the funds, but, you know, it's important that we're always trying to find new ways to fundraise and raise money through different ways.
So are you an educator by trade?
I'm actually not. I'm a web designer in my day job. And then, this has just become a passion of mine for the last 10 years.
So how did you get involved in it?
I got involved with camp when I watched a movie that, mentioned, you know, just being a volunteer camp counselor for a camp similar to this one. And it just looked like a fun experience. So I got on Google and I started Googling around at, you know, different volunteer camp counselor opportunities, and Camp Two Belong popped up right away. And at the time, this was 2013. At the time, there was not a Camp Two Belong in Wisconsin. There was one in Colorado. So I signed up, I flew up to Colorado. I was just a volunteer camp counselor at the Camp Two Belong out there in Colorado. And it was just such an amazing experience. And someone from that camp told me that there's this husband and wife in Wisconsin that really want to start one in Wisconsin. So I knew as soon as I got back to town, I reached out to them, and I just kind of have been part of Wisconsin ever since, you know, getting it started, doing our first year, and now we're on year 9.
So listen, man, we've got to go to a break. So hang on. I'm so honored and excited about my guest, Mr. Aaron Vivian. He is with Camp Two Belong. It's reuniting siblings. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's a great thing that you're doing, man. I'm just blown away, because, you know, I kind of do those kind of things myself, and it's great to know that there are other people around doing the exact same thing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Aaron Vivian, and he is with Camp Two Belong, reuniting siblings. And Aaron, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what happens when you see siblings they finally got to meet one another, and now they have a chance to reconnect. And some of the things you guys do at the camp I'm sure you've got the camp situated in a manner that they get a chance, all of these children, to sit down and experience what it, you know, what way do you go about addressing the young people once they get to the camp?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because we never really fully know as the volunteers there. We never fully know what exactly is the situation between the siblings in a sibling group. But really, you know, because we've always said it, we're not a therapy camp.
Right.
We're just a therapeutic camp, right? You know, so we try really not to, you know, counsel the kids or anything like that. We really just want to get in the camp and just let them have fun. And, you know, we have all kinds of, you know, like our signature programs throughout the week. You know, we start the first full night with this huge carnival bash, you know, bouncy houses and cotton candy and, you know, games and face painting and all of the works. And the next night, you know, we do a whole birthday party night where it's just every kid's birthday that night, because, you know, a lot of the kids, they definitely don't get to see their siblings for their birthday. So, you know, Tuesday night is usually always a big birthday party night where it's everyone's birthday and they get to give, you know, birthday presents to all of their siblings and, you know,
eat cake and dance.
Yeah. That's always a really fun night. And at the end of the week, we do scrapbooking where we take, you know, we print off the pictures that we took of the sibling groups all week and we give that to them and they get to put a scrapbook together. So they actually get to walk away with, you know, those photos, those memories of camp. And then we always end the week with a big closing campfire on our last night. And it's amazing to see how many of the kids get up and speak in front of everyone at the closing campfire, as opposed to the opening campfire.
So how many children are we talking about during that weekend camp?
Well, so our main camp that we've been doing for 9 years up in Plymouth at Camp Anakiji, our first year was about 30 kids. And then up until the pandemic hit, we were serving about 60 kids each camp week. And this year we're trying to get back up to closer to that 60. We'll probably have about 50 kids up there. And then our Milwaukee camp, we're aiming for this July, for just the first Milwaukee camp week, we're aiming to have 30 campers.
So how do you get the word out? I mean, how are parents, how are people, and what is the age demographic?
So the kids, the age of the kids that we have at camp are, the youngest will go is about age 7 or 8. And then we'll have youth up to age 21. You know, there's definitely youth who have aged out, who still have younger siblings in the system. And we do not want to prevent them from getting opportunities to see their younger siblings.
Man, that's
so
great.
That's yeah.
I mean, that's really,
and really to get the word. Yeah, to get the word out there, you know, we do things like this, talking, you know, on the news is always a great opportunity. And, you know, well, it's interesting because we're always on the hunt for campers and then on the hunt for counselors, because, I mean, we always get inundated with, you know, camper referrals from just, we reach out to all of the counties, you know, social workers and things like that. And we always get inundated with campers. However, you know, we can only have so many campers based on how many volunteers we're able to get. So
what's the process for someone who's listening right now who may think this is something that they would want their loved ones to be involved in?
Yeah, so really the main thing is just to go to our website, ctb-wi.org. And there's buttons that you press right on our main page for if you know some campers for our Anakiji camp, or if you know some campers that could come to our Milwaukee camp. You click on the button there and you just kind of fill out their information, and that's kind of how we get started with that. And if you're also somebody who would love to come be a volunteer counselor with us, because we're always in need, there's a spot, you know, that you can click volunteer on our website.
So, Aaron, hang on a second. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Mr. Aaron Vivian. He is with Camp to Belong, reuniting siblings. Be right back.
Oh, out our quarrels and try to live as brothers and try to find peace within without stepping on one another. And do respect the women of the world. Remember, you all had mothers. We gotta
make this land better land than the world in which we live.
And we gotta help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give.
I know we can make it.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Aaron Vivian. He is with Camp To Belong, Reuniting Siblings. Let me ask you, Aaron, if people wanted to make a donation, what would be the process?
The process for that would also just be going to our website, ctb-wi.org, and we have a tab... donate. So you can click that and definitely, I mean, we're always looking forward to, you know, donations and things like that.
You know, man, the other part of this is the counselors and being a counselor and what they get out of this. You know, far too many times in the society, people don't do things because, you know, there's no money attached to it. And they really don't understand that if you really want to feel good about yourself, man, serve, right? Man.
Right.
You know, just help somebody. You know, do something for somebody who needs support and needs help in the society. And you know, even if it's nothing more than making a donation to an organization like the one you are running that does the work, maybe people don't want to be a counselor, but certainly the resources that they can give to help support a program like yours. And just so people know, I had not met you before our conversation the other day. And in looking at what it is you are doing, the impact you and the others, because no one person can do anything, but what you are doing touches the lives and changes the lives of all of these people and for the rest of their lives, that impact, right? I mean, you find your sibling, you know, you can have a friend. Friends are nice. You know, and there are times sometimes, especially when you're young, you may prefer your friend over your sibling. I know, you know, I did. You know, maybe I'm, yeah, you know, a little bit different. But as time went on, who's more valuable than your own blood, man?
Right, exactly. And that's a relationship that if it's not fostered properly when you were a child, it can be really tough to, you know, have that bond into adulthood. You know, I run into all the time these siblings who, you know, they didn't have a camp like this growing up. They didn't get that time with their siblings. And now they just talk about how strained of a relationship it is in their adulthood. So it's really important, you know, to maintain and help foster that relationship at this younger age. And like you said, there's plenty of ways to be involved. You know, if you're not somebody who can give up a week or a half a week of your time to come be a counselor, we'll even take day counselors. We'll take anyone who just wants to make something and give it to our campers. We'll take just a straight up donation. However you want to get involved, we appreciate it.
You know, man, there's the other part of this is there's only one life. We only get one shot at it, right?
Right.
I mean, you only get one shot at being on this earth and at a given point in time. And so you can't, you know, go back and then say, well, the next time around, I'll be able to have a relationship with my siblings. Nah, that's not how it works.
Right.
You know, let's do things that we can to change the world while we can, right? While we're here. And this right. certainly changes the world and the perspective of people in the world. Because to find, you know, your loved one and to be able to talk to them and talk about the families the extended families and all of those things, the earlier we can connect people to that, the better off they'll be and the better round that they'll be.
I agree. And it's the saddest part to me is always when I see the kids talking at camp and how much they express. I want to see my siblings. I want to live with them. I want that connection with them. I want to see them every day. And to know that the system is set up to just make that really tough, it's really too bad.
Yeah, because the other part of this is that we have a society that doesn't, you know, understand that if we do this and make children and give children healthier lives while they're young, chances are they'll be a healthier adult, right? And then that healthier, right. healthier adult will be able to be a healthier parent, right? I mean, exactly. and that's how we fix things in the society.
Right. Yep. It's definitely a cycle, and you know, it's if we can help fix it earlier on in the start of the problem, it's always going to be better generations from now.
Yeah. So you know, I hope that people who are listening, we have a lot of people listening. I can tell you, Aaron, and I know many of these people who are listening, good people, and you know, because I talk to them every day, I hear them every day. And hopefully they'll do something to help you and your program and as it moves, because sounds like a program that'll be around in perpetuity, man.
Yeah, we're just looking at growing and growing and just trying to serve as many kids as possible. You know, to think that there's 7,000 kids in foster care in Wisconsin, and so many of those are split up from their sibling, and you know, sometimes we're like, well, how do we serve more and more kids? And it's just a matter of focusing each year on growing and getting bigger and bigger and getting dedicated volunteers or just really anyone who wants to get involved and just to help really ensure that we help as many kids as possible.
You know, man, I'm a big kid myself, right? And man, I'm a person who enjoys being around children. You know, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, I'm going to be involved in something that we do every year called a special ed prom that I have been involved in for the last 13 years, where, I don't know, about 200 special needs children come together and we provide a catered meal for them. They get dressed up, you know, and we certainly fix a cafeteria up at my alma mater. And art instructors and everything, and we make it a wonderful, wonderful event. And to watch those 200 special ed who used to be children, many of them are adults now, come and connect with people that they only see, you know, once a year, this time every year, which was arrested because of COVID the last 2 years, man, I'm like a kid in a candy store, man. I'll be there tomorrow from the time I leave here until 10 p.m.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just saying, man, people can find ways to be happy. I find, unfortunately, times so many people who are unhappy in their lives and they don't realize reaching out and making a difference with somebody else will change your life. And what you guys are doing is not only changing the lives of the children, their parents, the camper, the counselors themselves, all of that. Now, again, what's the phone number? Sure. You've got a website. What's the phone number people can reach? Everybody is not, you know. Is sure. there a phone number?
Well,
not really.
We don't really have a phone number, but we do have a phone number. Our email is camptobelongwisconsin@gmail.com.
Yeah, email is good, right.
That's a great way. Otherwise, we do have a phone number on our website that I think goes to the main director, Kate Bauer. And then there's also like a contact tab on the website where people can send us messages. But that email is going
to
be the best.
You know, man, when I was a young boy, I went to camp Camp Whitcomb. Camp.
That's where we're Camp Whitcomb Mason?
Yes.
Yes, that is where we're doing the Milwaukee camp in July.
Oh, man. I went to Camp Cedar Lake, right?
Okay.
A camp in Cedar Lake. And so here I was, an urban kid. And the only way I got a chance to actually get out in nature, was to be able to go to summer camp for a week and get out and about, man, away from, the streets and all of those things. And, man, even to this day, I still remember experiencing that time out in the wild, right? We can call it the wild, anything other than living right in the city, And so for kids to be able to get that chance and to do that, man, outside of their neighborhoods also is another great opportunity.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing how many kids that I hear, when they get to camp and they're like, wow, I've never seen the woods before. I've never seen a lake before. It's wild. So it's awesome to see those kids experience all of those things too, and to see them experience it for the first time with their sibling who they don't get to see regularly. It's amazing.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, man, is we're going to be wrapping this up. Make an appeal to the audience over the next 3 minutes about what support you need.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's just an amazing opportunity to get involved. And if you're somebody who never went to camp as a kid and has always wanted to be, a camp counselor or get the camp experience, please, we'll have you. But if you also have any kind of passion for just helping siblings get together with their other siblings who they don't get to see on a regular basis, if you're somebody who had that sibling growing up or even that best friend if you were an only child, those are really important, amazing memories that you had as a child who, there's kids out there who don't get to have that on a regular basis. So any help that we can get to help reunite more and more siblings is so important to us. So if you're available July 19th through the 22nd to help out with our Milwaukee camp, please, please, please do. And you can sign up on our website, ctb-wi.org.
All right, man. Thank you very much, Aaron. I appreciate it. What I'm going to do is we'll stay in touch. I'm really excited about what it is you guys are doing, man, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having us on.
All right, thank you. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's Mr. Aaron Vivian, and he is with Camp to Belong, Reuniting Siblings. Be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-8255. 2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Vince Tony. He is a candidate for Alderman in District 1 in the city of Milwaukee, a write-in candidate. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mr. Ingram?
All right. I'm doing fine, man. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, issues in the city of Milwaukee, because they are germane in District 1 as they are in District 15.
Absolutely.
The same conditions exist across the city of Milwaukee. So what is it that you see that has brought you to the position of deciding to run for office?
Well, I think more importantly is I've, you know, spent time, 4 years in the military and then some years overseas. I came back to Milwaukee in 1986, and I moved into the first district in 1992. And I've been under two alderpersons, under their leadership. Nothing's gotten better in our community, in our neighborhood. So I ran in 2016, 2020, and I'm running now. And the reason that I'm running, because I'm retired, so I would prefer being somewhere playing golf or doing something more special. But I see the individuals that have led the community, and the two individuals that are on the ballot. I'm a write-in candidate. Andrea Pratt and David Bourne are not leaders that I would want representing the community. So I'm stepping up, and I'm just being a voice that the people want to hear, some of them.
So when you talk about leaders and leadership, be specific.
Oh, we've had Marvin Pratt as an alderperson, and we've had Ashanti Hamilton as an alderperson. Under their leadership, there's things that have been going on in our community that hasn't changed. The drug dealings, the prostitutions walking up and down the street, the violence, the gunshots, everything. I mean, you name it, what's going on in Milwaukee has gone on in our district, and we haven't had the leadership that even tries to address it. They've been part of the problem.
So I can tell you, in all honesty, that I am not a person who speaks highly of older people in the city of Milwaukee. And as a person who's lived there now for 68 years, I have never been fond of the older people who live in the city of who represent the city of Milwaukee, because, you know, when you get into a position like that, and people who vote for those elected officials don't even realize what their duties and responsibilities are. And so when people aren't politically savvy, unfortunately, in this society, they pay a price.
Absolutely.
So you vote for people based on name recognition, and you vote for people because, you know, you see them around. But after it's all said and done, if people are educated to understand in a representative government what those people's responsibilities are, and because if you don't know the difference between what a county supervisor's duties are and what an alderman's duties are, you get what we wind up getting, unfortunately, far too many times in the city of Milwaukee and other places.
Yeah, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. And the problem being, I think, you know, like I said, this is my third time running, and I'll give you some numbers here. In 2016, about 9,000 people voted. In 2020, a little over 4,000 people voted. And February 21st of this year, less than 3,000 people voted. And I'm out here knocking on doors. I mean, a lot of people don't really want to see me or anybody else at their door, for that matter, because what I'm hearing is what we've seen and what we've had in this district, nothing's working, is getting worse. And they're doing things in the community without the people in the community's input. They're doing things that they want to do, and they're representing others as the developers and people of that nature. They're not representing the people in the district. And that's been my experience the entire time that I've been there.
So it's unfortunate, but one of the things that very few people ever talk about is the fact that Milwaukee has one of the youngest populations in the nation. A lot of young children, a lot of people who aren't voting age, and yet people should not be only doing things for people who vote. we live in a time and in a society where if you're elected as an alderperson, as a mayor, whoever it is, it shouldn't be based on I'm going to represent people who voted and not people who did not.
Exactly.
You become an elected official for all the people. I've seen all the people say when they got a phone call and they asked their representative, the person who's taking care of this, the complaint that the person is lodging, did they vote? And when they heard the person say no, we'll put it at the bottom of the list. Well,
yeah,
that kind of person should not ever be a leader anywhere.
Exactly. And I'm looking at, excuse me, but I look at the numbers of this last election, and I'm look 2019 numbers. There's 36,000 people in District 1. There's about 30,000 blacks in District 1. There's about 25,000 people that are eligible, that are voting age. Less than 3,000 people voted. And that's not taken out, that's not factoring out felons and people that couldn't vote. Those are just raw numbers. But when you look at it, at the raw numbers, 21,000 people in the district did not vote. I think Andrea Pratt's daughter, Andrea Pratt, got about a little over 1,000 votes, David Bourne got 900. So less than 2,000 people out of 25,000 people voted in this district. And what I'm hearing when I'm knocking at these doors is that these are the same people, and we keep putting them in office. So they'll probably get in office because the few people that voted for them live in a certain area. They're part of their cliques, and they'll get in possibly.
So people who live in those areas, not just District 1, but we can go down the list with Milwaukee being one of the poorest cities in the entire nation. And so when people struggle to keep a roof over their heads, food in their mouths, their lights on, it's a difficult proposition to get people to see that voting is going to change
Right. Their
dynamic.
Well, looking at in my district.
Hold a thought. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guest is Mr. Vince Tony. He is a write-in candidate for District 1 Automatic District in the city of Milwaukee. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.